Coach Red, we hit the century mark. This is episode 100, my friend. What do you think?
Wow, that's super.
Yeah.
Super duper.
I couldn't think of a better guy to have on 100. And I think I'm going to put together a deal with our bettors and some tickets on Friday for the Yankees game as a giveaway. And I'm going to do a little promo at the end of the show about that. So
great, great. Any way our Miami Baseball Forum can help you with that?
That'd be awesome.
We'd be happy to do it.
That would be awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about Marlins. Pretty good series against the Padres, at least the last two games. Odd way to win that third game with the interference against Rojas.
I was there.
Pretty good game. And then Sunday, the bats came alive. And was whether that – here's a question I got for you. Was that just they had the fire in them, or were those guys, they're on the trading block and they're trying to pound a couple more RBIs and hits in? What do you
well,
think?
I'll tell you what, it was due. Very unpredictable. I mean, Brinson, for example, he can pull your heart out.
Yeah, yeah.
You can say, what's he doing there? And then all of a sudden they put him up to pinch hit and he comes through.
With a three-run bomb and, yeah. Great catch in left field out
amazing.
There.
Amazing. Yeah. He almost got the other guy killed.
Yeah.
You know, I was there Saturday night, and let me tell you, there are 20,000 people in the ballpark, and it was electric. And I didn't know there was that many Colombians interested in our game. I know that Barranquilla is just a small area on the coast that's mm-hmm. baseball. The rest of Colombia is soccer.
Right.
But I want you to know that that place was packed, and it was packed with real Marlins fans. It was packed with Marlins fans that are like your lady friends, Cubs fans.
That's right.
The
Die
ones
hard.
That follow the club win or lose. And they were there, and I met a lot of people. And it was an unbelievable atmosphere. And yes, the way it ended, as you pointed out, that guy, Grimsley or whatever his name is, the outfielder, he slid. That was illegal. And he stood up and he could have hurt Miggy bad.
He went airborne. Luckily, he did fall down, but he made the throw. If it was a split second faster, he would have got him out anyway. It wouldn't have mattered.
But two out of four against the Padres is good, even though I think the Padres are overrated, Tommy.
Yeah, they got some big bats on him, but Tatis, he didn't do much, really. He was ineffective in that whole series.
And, you know, they're sitting in third place, 58 and 44 behind the Dodgers and the Giants, and they need pitching, but they go out and trade for Adam Frazier.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense.
Who's leading the National League in base hits with 125.
From the Pirates.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. what they need is more pitching. But
But I'll tell you what, 58 and 44 would be pretty good in the National League East. I'd take that record.
Yes, it would.
We'd be right at the top there.
Yes, it would. That's why I believe three clubs will come out of the NL West.
Yep. San Fran, LA, San Diego.
And San Diego.
Yep.
Plus your winners in each division. But
right.
It was an electric atmosphere. But I got to tell you something that was real annoying about Saturday night.
All right.
We had members only parking, and it was filled when we got mm-hmm. there 10 minutes before the game. We had to park on the roof. You know, you needed an oxygen tank to breathe. We were so high up. And by the time we walked down five flights of chairs, the Red Dog was huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
So when we go
at least they got an escalator to get you up to the ballpark.
Yeah. And my son-in-law, Stevie, says to me, you want to take the elevator back up, Dad? And I said, no, we'll hoof it. We got up there. We got in the car. 20 minutes, we didn't move an inch. You know the commercial about you're small?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We didn't move an inch for 20 minutes. That's how bad the movement of traffic was handled.
Poorly managed.
Which was discouraging, but it was a great night. And they need a sweep, both of the games in Baltimore.
Yeah, starting definitely to need tonight. We got to get, and Sandy's coming back off the bereavement list, and hopefully he's ready to go. Let's talk about a couple trade potential trades. I know that both Marte and Duvall are potentially on the blocks. Both of those guys have been pretty on fire of recent games. Duvall making a big push to maybe up his stock a little bit. But I think Bass is on there, and maybe Detweiler or another guy that's in the bullpen that we're going to unload. So by Friday.
What about Andy?
Yeah, that's a possibility because you got Birdie, you got Devers, you got Esan Diaz who can play third. So,
yeah, well, Devers has been nicked.
Yep.
Nicked up, but I wouldn't trade Duvall.
I wouldn't.
Not at all.
Yeah. And Donna likes him a lot. So, yeah. I think she's got a poster of him at the house.
You got a poster?
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, Donna's Tommy's wonderful lady friend. Plus, she has a girlfriend that went to the first group at Coral Park, which puts her up a couple of notches in my book.
There you go. Awesome.
So, I
think Marte for sure.
I would trade Marte.
Anderson.
I would see what I could get for Anderson while he has some value. And
Cooper.
Bass. I wouldn't touch Cooper. I'd
okay.
keep Coop.
Aguilar?
Absolutely. I think he's the MVP
yeah.
of the club.
I did see Peter Gammons on Twitter say that both Duvall and Marte were in play, but the Reds came knocking on the door for Rojas, and that was completely off the table. So we know
he
that
did.
He's not going to get traded.
What a guy, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm on point. I'm not a Peter Gammons fan. He's a Boston guy, but I'm more Chicago.
Yeah, he could definitely do a young Frankenstein movie.
That's right.
As far as I'm concerned.
But you got a story that's super interesting about the state of youth baseball in Miami. What's going on with it? Is it growing? Is it dead? What do we have to do to revive it? Let's hear it.
Well, it's not just in Miami. It's all over the country. A lot of pressure on kids playing baseball. I mean, you know, colleges are signing young players in eighth grade.
Yep.
To letters of intent. Eighth grade. I mean, you know, they're about as immature as you can get. And what this does is blow smoke up their you-know-whats, and they think they're really hot stuff, and they don't relate to other teammates. There's a kid in South Florida. I'm not going to name the school. He's a commit to a very big baseball school. Got another year to go in Miami, and he's a very aloof kid. Doesn't relate well to his teammates, threatens to leave the school. And it's the exact result of the travel ball, which leads to showcases where college coaches come out as well as pro scouts and look at kids. And the fact that I've spoken before about baseball being a country club sport now, Tommy, costs a lot of money to go to
Shea Cake. Yeah, bats, $500-$600. Gloves, $200-$300.
Well, some of these travel teams cost $3,000 for the summer.
Oh, wow.
Just to be part of the ball club.
Yeah, so you got to be from Pinecrest or Palmetto Bay, apparently.
You got to do that, or parents got to take out a second mortgage. I mean, it's unbelievable, the expense. And the big thing is the emphasis is on me only. It's not on the team. It's like in minor league baseball. The players care about themselves. They want to move up. It's not a team MO. A guy's a fellow pitcher on a staff. I don't know how many of them are rooting for that guy to have success, which may hurt me.
Right.
You know, it's a tough situation. They don't learn how to play team ball because there's no practices. They pick up kids. I was speaking to a buddy of mine, Wayne Blanton in Baton Rouge, deep in the bayou. And he told me he went with his grandson to Branson, Missouri for a tournament. There were like 50 ball clubs up there, 10 days. And his club finished second to a Texas ball club. And the night before the final game, they flew a pitcher in from Texas to Branson to pitch the championship game.
Wow. Probably 12 years old.
Yeah. Actually 13. Mm-hmm. You're close. Put the kid on the plane. They're feeding him. They give him a new uni.
How come he wasn't on? Didn't he have to be on the roster? Or?
Well, he's working on another club.
Oh, all right.
And they've got this leverage that they can do. And they're creating monsters.
Yeah, imagine the parent, the pressure from the old man when if you're not performing, he spent all that money. There's got to be pressure at the house, too.
Yeah, I had a kid when I coached kids football, 95 and under. In the early 60s at the Gables Youth Center. This guy was a piano player at night at a club. Never played an athletic event in his life. Never probably wore a jockey strap, as my high school baseball coach Ralph Davis would call it. He didn't call it a jock strap. Called it a jockey strap. If this kid didn't gain plus yardage in the game. He made him walk home.
Is that right?
He made the kid walk home on a Saturday morning, 2-3 miles.
Old school.
Just unbelievable. So let's get back to Red Berry's baseball world and my discipline. You know how you go to a zoo and they got a sign saying, "Don't feed the monkeys."
Yeah, yeah. They're mean, too, by the way.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you a story about a pitcher that got released by getting bit by a monkey, if you remind me a little later. I don't want to get off track on the kids' ball. Well, I had signs posted. I had 9 fields, 18 dugouts. So I had signs posted well in front of the dugouts. No parents allowed beyond this point. And if a parent took one step, Tommy, past that sign, I got a call for my coach's PI, parent interference. And I ran over there and made a move. Now, you couldn't coach your kid. You could cheer. You could say, "Nice job, Tommy." You could say, "Way to go." You could say, "You can do it." But you couldn't coach. I caught guys trying to give signals to their kids, and they'd see me and they'd go, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd nail them. And I wanted to establish an atmosphere of non-pressure, fun, without passion. There's no player development. You have to love it. Kids quit, too much pressure, not having fun. Players at Red Berry's had fun. I made sure of that. I'll give you, the kids came first, no pressure. I could care less about the parents. I was appreciative that they would spend the money to come to my academy, even though I felt it was reasonable. But the kids came first. I'll give you an example. One day on a Saturday morning, with all the fields busy, one of my coaches yelled to me, "Coach Red, see the guy in the Hawaiian shirt? He's beyond the sign. He's coaching his grandson." I told him to move back and not to coach, but he won't listen to me. So Tommy, I mosey over and I said to the gentleman, sir, you can't coach here. You can cheer. You got to stay behind the sign.
Right.
And he said to me, do you know who I am? I said, no, who are you? He said, I'm the manager of the city of Miami. I said, sir, do you know who I am? I said, I'm Red Berry, and if you don't follow our rules, you're going to have to get out of here. And he said, see ya. Come on, honey. And he took his wife and he left. But we're going to protect that kid. Another example. Hilarious story. I used to cook for every baseball birthday party. I would have a party with a game and an award ceremony for the young man or gal and all their friends. And then we go into the Roberto Clemente Pavilion for food. So I do the cooking. I'd put on my suntan lotion and I'd be cooking the hot dogs, hamburgers, and the pizza. This guy's hanging on the counter. So we have a rule. Everybody sits and my coaches serve. They serve in trays. They serve the drinks, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the cheeseburgers, and the pizza. So this guy's hanging on the counter. So I say, I'm at the grill, sweating, working, spritzing. I said to this guy, sir, you need to sit down and we'll serve you. He said to me, do you know who I am?
Hate it when they say that.
Yeah, I said, sir, no, who are you? He said, I'm Mickey Arison. I own the Heat. I said, well, I'm Red Berry. If you don't sit down, you'll have to get out of here. And he said, okay, and he sat down.
Right.
Nicely. And, of course, he went on to build the Heat into a dynasty.
But you were going to kick him out of there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't care who he was. Now, there was a high school assistant principal at Braddock. Wouldn't follow the rules. Coaching his kid. Yelling, screaming. A couple of warnings. I suspended him to the pavilion with his binoculars. He could not go to a field. And he'd be there with his binoculars, watching his son. Of course, it was a divorce situation. So, you know, I guess his ex-wife was glad to have him in the peanut gallery. But he's watching with his things. And that's the way it was. Now, the last situation, I'm tying my shoes on a Saturday morning. I just did the starter. We have all the ball clubs going out to the field. I gave the tip of the day and the keyword, you know, a tip of the day like hustle, tip of the day like frozen head, you know, front shoulder, back shoulder, don't pull your head. All the teams are out. And I go back in, I'm putting my lotion on, thank God for lotion because of my pigmentation. And all of a sudden, I hear yelling and screaming, and a woman walks in my office hysterical. Coach Red, they're killing each other. I said, who, what, where, when? Two police officers are duking it out. They're in a fist fight at Red Berry's. So I run out there and fathers are pulling these two police officers out and they're taking one into my manager's office and they're taking the other one into Casey Stingle Hall, separating them. And what happened, right? One of the police officers was sitting in the stand during a prior game on a Wednesday afternoon. And this mother of this youngster on the Pirates, this youngster got up and this police officer says, oh, there's Billy hitting again. He's an automatic out. He stinks, that kid. And that's his mother sitting behind. Well, the mother goes home and tells the father, who's a police officer. This guy made fun of Billy.
Right.
It really hurt my feelings. So the police officer said, I'll fix that. So the next game on Saturday morning, this police officer, I guess he's on duty, he's in uni, he goes and he finds the police officer and he calls him out. And they got in a fist fight. And lo and behold, within an hour of the fight, there were six squad cars, internal affairs at Red Berry's, interrogating these guys, I'm getting fired up, at Red Berry's Baseball World, a place that you remember the show, Internal Affairs, coming out of, excuse me a minute, Uno Momento, por favor. You remember A Current Affair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, a nationwide show from New York sent a TV crew down to Red Berry's to film us for a week. We were to be the positive example of youth baseball. And then they filmed Tamiami Quarry League, which had two patrol cars every weekend there to break up brawls as the negative. And this brawl happened in my place. So what did I do? I get a call from a lady the following Monday. She said, Coach Berry, you're going to have to do something about these policemen that got in a fight. She says, I had to up my blood pressure medicine. I saw that. She said, you should suspend them for a couple games. I said, lady, I have suspended them for life at Red Berry's. I feel bad about their kids, but I can't condone this kind of behavior.
I don't think I've ever seen two cops fighting before.
Let me tell you.
I've seen them fighting other people, but not
two cops. When I saw them, black eyes, blood, puffed up lip, I thought it was Liston and Ali. Big guys. Brutes. And I'm glad I didn't have to step in and separate them. It was fathers, but I'm sure they got hit by way. But this happened at my place. So you can imagine what goes on. I mean, at my place, that was a rare situation. The game has lost its innocence. We used to wake up early Saturday morning in Brooklyn to get a field to play on. We used to choose up sides. You know
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were a little league coach at
yeah.
Little
and a little
World
leaguer.
Series yeah. in Williamsport.
I was.
How do those kids deal with the pressure?
By then, they're all stars. So they're, you know, they've got that mentality of, look, I've got to go out here and make my mom and dad proud, and that's it. And if I don't, it's going to be a rough ending.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure on those kids, once you get to that level, once you get beyond your little local town, and then you go to the county, and then you go to the states, and then you go to the East finals,
yeah,
you're talking about another level of player. Yeah. And you got to deal with all the personalities of the parents and the kids, and some of them, their ego is bigger than their brain, or their bat, for
and
that
I,
matter.
And I remember the first time Ron Fraser and I took the Canes to Omaha in 74 when we were runner-ups to Southern Cal. We'd be sitting in the coffee shop eating yogurt. That's all we could digest. I mean, there was tremendous pressure. Yeah, I mean, and those guys came from Jersey. They were the best players from California, all over the country. It's got to be fun. It's got to be fun in a major league clubhouse.
So. Yeah.
And that's why a guy like Aguiar is such a delight.
Yeah.
That's why you see the love on the Marlin team. They hug each other. Aguiar was so happy when Anderson hit a home run
the
other night, coming back. And you see that fellowship, which is so important. And so few make it
yep.
to the show. you know, so few.
And that guy is one of the players that always wants to interact with those young fans that come over there. Well, I usually, when we go to the game, our seats are over there by first base in the bottom section.
Yeah.
And he's always going over to some kid, giving them a ball, regardless of their hat that they're wearing. If they're Braves or Mets,
nice.
He doesn't care. And you just see some smiling little girl over there that's asking for a baseball, and he's going to be the first guy to do
it. And you know what I noticed that night? The screens now. Protective screens. It's a big deal at the end of every inning when he comes in with a ball.
Yeah, they're all waiting for him to throw one over.
And he has to throw it high so it can't just reach the people in front. It goes back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be at the ballpark.
Yep.
They need to sweep Baltimore so they can cut it down to being 8 out and 12 under 500.
I'd be okay with that.
Yes, sir.
And then we got the Yankees coming to town. I'm not really afraid of them. Garrett Cole's going to be tough. That's about it.
They've blown 25 late games.
The Sox have been all over them lately, too.
I mean, they get to the eighth inning, their bullpen has collapsed, which was the strongest point of their club.
Yep.
The guy's name, for those that watch our podcast continuously, I couldn't think of the pitcher's name the other day, was Holloway.
Oh, Jordan Holloway.
Yeah, that I thought had the good starter stuff.
Yep, he does. He does. He does. And look, sometimes the way that the status of, Trevor Rogers on the IL, Pablo Lopez on the IL, we're going to have to put together a couple pen games that are going to have some meaning. And that all that does is really puts pressure on the bullpen, because eventually what's going to happen is those guys are going to get worn out.
And we're an opener club now. We're a bullpen pitching club.
That's it.
As you point out.
Yeah.
Seven guys K'd 11 guys the other night.
How about Braxton Garrett, the game that you went to, had 10 Ks.
90,
second start.
90-91 with a curve and a slider and a strong stomach and a lefty that knows how to pitch. I'm glad you pointed him out. And my guy Bender.
He's good.
Let me tell you what they did with him. He goes in. They're going to pitch him two innings. He goes in. The first guy he's facing is, I believe, Machado. He throws a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. He misses ball one. Leon calls for a slider second pitch. He hangs the slider. Machado hits it out to center. Then Bender K's six guys in a row. Throws two innings. He K's three. He gets six guys out, six in a row, two innings. And I don't know why you wouldn't let the guy, if he's going to get beat with your best pitch, your fastball. Use your slider as a chase, okay?
You think they got him on a pitch count, though, Coach?
Well, I didn't know they were going to throw him two innings, but I just didn't like the pitch selection. I think he's a closer.
Right. Now, is that Stoudemire or is that the guy calling the game behind the dish?
I think it's...
Can he shake it off? I mean, can't that guy still shake off the...
He could. He could. But then he's a rookie.
Right.
He's a guy coming out of the independent league. Bigs. Leon's been around a long time.
Right, right. And he's got a World Series with the Red Sox.
Yes. He's got the ring.
That's it. You got one right there.
Yeah, he's got the bling.
Tell him what that's from, Coach.
This is the 85 Hurricanes.
World Championship. Yep, against Texas.
Against the Hook'em Horns.
Hook Horns down on that one.
So anyway.
All right, big game tonight against Baltimore. We're going to wrap it up right now. Sandy Alcantara against Watkins, who's only got, he's 2-0, but one-something ERA, 1.36. Pretty decent. What do you think, Coach?
Looking forward to seeing the game and seeing my friend Freddie Gonzalez, who is their bench coach.
Yep, ex-Marlins manager. All right, boys, let's flip the end tonight. Go Fish, episode 100 in the books.
Yes, sir. Preview.